The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone. Volumes have been written on the meaning of the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate today, but one sentence of a definition remains with me. Someone once said that this is Jesus saying to all of us, "All I ask is that forever you will remember me as loving you." And it's my prayer that today we will experience that love as through word and through the symbols of bread and wine we're drawn closer to our Lord Jesus. If you are a visitor with us this morning, we extend a warm welcome, and if you feel moved to break bread and share wine with us, then please be assured that you're very welcome to do that. And there will be further fellowship in the large hall afterwards over tea and coffee, if we are able to remain for that. But let's now worship God together as we sing, "O God, you are my God alone, whom eagerly I seek."
As we draw near to God in worship, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come near to you, still our minds and quieten our hearts and focus our thoughts and our affections upon you. Father, we thank you for your great love. For you are the God who has called us and brought us near into your presence, that we might praise your glory and we might know your love. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this day we think on our Lord Jesus Christ and of his giving of himself in love, that we might become your people. And Father, we remember the beauty of his words. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, we come from our busy lives, and we come, gracious Father, conscious of our many weaknesses. We are in ourselves unworthy to draw near to this place. And yet, gracious Father, it has pleased you to cleanse us with the blood of our Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that in him we are able to come. And we thank you that he is here. Heavenly Father, bless us. And as we think about the symbols of bread and wine, may we remember his work for us. And may we remember that such was your love, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we come to you in that newness of life that you have given. Bind us together as your people, and bind us ever nearer to him, and speak to us this day out of your word. Heavenly Father, give us grace that we may understand and we may receive. For our Christ is here, the Christ who was present with his people. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless us and hear us as we come with those words which he himself gave us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power. Amen.
Friends, we remain seated and sing our prayers for understanding. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, overflowing with love. Now let's read together in God's Word in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 2 at verse 1. John chapter 2 at verse 1, page 1064 in the Pew Bible. In the season of Epiphany following Christmas, we remember the ways that God revealed himself through Jesus. And John brings us nearer to the very first sign of the glory of God in Jesus. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then a cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. God will bless to us the reading of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. Well, nice to see boys and girls in church this morning. Just a wee word to you before you go into the Sunday club and Bible class. I don't know if you remember last year. That was 2 weeks ago. Last year I told you about an experience I had, something that I've always wanted. And it had to do with a bird. The feathered kind. I heard a wee chuckle there. It had to do with a bird. A kingfisher. Do you remember? I always wanted to see a kingfisher because there's a lovely poem that I like by one of my favourite poets, and he talks about seeing a kingfisher flashing across a pond. And I saw this kingfisher down at the Forth and Clegg Canal, and it was wonderful. You know, I just didn't really realise just the colours and all the rest of it. And, you know, it was double the experience because not only did I see it flying that way, but I also saw it flying this way with a fish in its mouth Because it is a kingfisher. Yes. So that was just wonderful. Now, a couple of people remembered that I'd had that experience. And for Christmas, I was given some special presents. Now, this is a picture of a kingfisher. And it's a very, very nice picture, as you can see. It's not quite as good as the real thing, but it's lovely. And it's got a Bible text below. It says, "He leads me beside quiet waters and refreshes my soul." That's from a psalm, Psalm 23. "He leads me beside quiet waters and refreshes my soul." And it was a wonderful moment when God showed me the beauty of his creation in the kingfisher. And then somebody else in the congregation gave me a mug. I heard another chuckle there. They gave me a mug, and on this mug there is a kingfisher. It's a lovely picture of a kingfisher on the mug. So it's nice to know that folk listen, isn't it? You know, and I must actually send out some more of my needs and see what the response is. You know, but I can put this up in my study and look at it and remember that day when I saw the kingfisher and the wonder of God's creation, and I could have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and again remember that wonderful moment. And you know, memory is very important to us today, because we are remembering that on a particular night, Jesus said to his disciples, "Now, I want you to remember me. And I want you to remember me by doing this." And he took a piece of bread and he broke it and he told his disciples to share it amongst them. And then he took a cup of wine and he gave it to his disciples and told them to share it amongst them. And he said, "I want you to do this to remember me. To remember my life, to remember my death, to remember my rising again from the dead. Because my life is the life I want you to live. And my death helps you to be forgiven for all the wrong things you've done. And my resurrection from the dead, it means that each and every one of you can be part of God's kingdom, which will last forever." Jesus said, "Do this to remember me, and to remember all these things, bring them all together, and remember that I love you. All I ask is that forever you will remember me as loving you." That's what we're doing today, to remember Jesus' love and to experience that as we're gathered together as his people. Now, I hope you have a good day today at the Sunday Club and Bible class. And we're going to sing together now, "My Life Flows On in Endless Song Above Earth's Lamentation." Now let us pray. God our Father, we praise you that through the generations you've enabled people to face the challenges of life with an inward calm because of all that has been done for us through Jesus. And as today we think about his glory, the glory revealed in who he was and what he achieved, that our inward calm would be fastened to his promises for this life and the next. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, folks, I gave up watching EastEnders a long, long time ago. It used to be one of the best ways for me to end the day, having recorded it and settling down with a cup of tea to watch the dreadful things that were going on in Albert Square. But I knew that things were actually getting bad. when I bought one of these soap magazines. You know, you probably don't know what that is, and that's all to your credit. But these magazines contain information about all the stars in the soaps and comment on the plots and sort of try and anticipate what's going to happen next. It's all very deep, thrilling stuff. But I knew that things were getting a bit bad when I actually bought one of those. But at the end of the day, I think I was just getting a bit fed up with the whole thing. You know, the script writers to me were just concerned about devising more and more ingenious ways to inflict pain on their characters. And you always knew when something bad was going to happen because somebody would be trundling along really quite well, enjoying life. And you just knew that around the corner there was going to be a big and painful surprise. Weddings were always the big events for a calamitous event. You know, the bride or groom wouldn't turn up. Or somebody would be arrested on the way to the wedding. Or somebody would turn up and claim to be already married to the bride or the groom. All that pain, all that drama. But it's nothing compared to the pain that would be felt at a Jewish wedding in Jesus' time when the wine ran out. Because according to the tradition, there could be no celebration of any kind without the presence of wine. Hospitality was a sacred duty in Jesus' culture. To run out of the means of hospitality on any occasion was a terrible black mark. But to run out of wine at a wedding was one of the biggest black marks that could ever be placed against your name. Wine was integral to celebration. And that's why quite often when you read the prophets in the Old Testament and they're looking forward to the new creation that God is going to establish at the end of all things, when they're looking forward to that, they have visions of wine flowing in rivers. A symbol of the celebration that will ripple through the whole of God's creation on that day. So, for a family to run out of wine on one of the high points of their lives was a huge disgrace. And the groom was responsible for providing the means of hospitality. And if that failed for some reason, then his wife's family would have recourse to law. They could sue him. That's a great way to start with your in-laws, isn't it? It was as serious as that. But it was in those circumstances of possible disgrace and pain, that Jesus revealed his glory. In the midst of all of that, Jesus revealed his glory. Now, you'll often come across that word in the Old Testament, the glory of God. In the past, the glory of God was actually a physical phenomenon. It was a bright light that appeared. Remember at Christmas we were thinking about the angels coming to the shepherds and how the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It was a physical light, and it said to everyone who saw that God was present and God was working. And we're told that at this wedding in Cana of Galilee, the glory of God was present. Not the bright light, perhaps, but Jesus showed in this miracle that God was present and God was working in a way that he had never done before. The glory of God was being seen through Jesus. And it was seen, first of all, in the provision that Jesus made at this wedding. You know, to move from no more wine to, according to my calculation, 120 gallons. Now that is really something. I think probably in our terms about 960 bottles. And I don't think that would just cover one wedding, do you? I think we're talking about quite a few. But there was a message here for all those with eyes to see, for all those like us who would ponder on this episode. That when God provides, it's an extravagant provision. I was at a funeral yesterday and we sang that hymn which says, God, his son not sparing, sent him to die to take away my sin. God held nothing back in his great desire to embrace everyone in his love. He wouldn't even hold back his only son. And the Lord's Supper is our reminder today, friends, of the extravagance of God's provision for us. I can hear our Father saying to us as we gather here this morning, now here is my son who died for your sins so that you could be forgiven, so that you could build your lives according to my truth, so that you could have a place with him in my eternal kingdom. Now all of this is being presented to us anew today, friends. It's as real as the bread and the wine that we will touch and taste. Once again, we can experience within ourselves our Heavenly Father providing for us everything that in the end will matter. Forgiveness. A new life. And renewal even in death. You know, we sometimes sing the hymn that says, it gives us a vision for the future, and it says, on our Father's love relying, Jesus every need supplying. That's every need that matters in the end. The glory of God was seen, experienced in Cana of Galilee because of Jesus' provision and also for the transformation. Water into wine. That is certainly a miracle. But it was more than that on that day. We're told that this was a sign. And it was a sign that something new was happening on this earth. You know, there were these big jars full of water. The Jewish people would use these jars and the water in the jars for ceremonial washing. Part of the quite complex ritual that they believed would keep them close to God. And Jesus says, he said, now fill these jars. And when the wine is drawn, when the water is drawn from the jars, it's discovered that it has become wine. So the celebration can continue. The wedding can go on without any black marks against anybody's name. But something new has happened. God is working in a new way with his people. He's working through his son, Jesus, so that men and women everywhere could join him in the heavenly family. And you know, that's something new. It followed Jesus everywhere, didn't it? Because when Jesus preached, people who heard him said, "We've never heard anything like this before. This fella is preaching with authority. It's as if he has the closest of relationships with God, as if he has a tight connection to the very heart of God." Something new was happening. And the world would never be the same. Because now those with ears to hear could realize that God had stepped up his great project to renew the whole of creation. That he was seeking to change things. That he was bringing new life into the lives of men and women, so that they could go forward into the whole of creation and through their words and through the quality of their lives proclaim that God was doing something new. That he was showing his kingdom and what it was like now, pointing forward to the day when Jesus would come to this earth and establish his kingdom forever. And that's something we can focus on when we come to the Lord's table. Because we remember the Apostle Paul and his instruction to the church at Corinth. And how he said to them, "Whenever we eat this bread and drink this wine, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until the end of all things, when he will make all things new, we proclaim the death that is a source of renewal in our lives. The glory was in Jesus' provision and in his transformation, and also in the acclamation that was made on that day. You know, there's that lovely human touch when the master of the ceremonies, the head steward, whatever you would like to call him, he takes the bridegroom aside and he says, this is a first. This is a first. You know, usually folks serve the best wine first. And then when everybody's a wee bit, you know, then we sell the stuff that's not quite up to the mark. You save the best until last. I wonder if you've ever said that, or even perhaps thought it in relation to someone. You're maybe giving a present or doing something for them, and you just think that nothing but the best for this person. Nothing but the best. And it seems to me, friends, that when we're thinking about this episode that happened in Cana of Galilee, what we're seeing is a sign that God is always going to do his best for us. He's always working to do his best for us. To bring us closer to him. To move us forward in his will. And in the end, welcome us to our eternal home. Nothing but the best for you. Nothing but the best for me. I wonder, you know, if sometimes someone has given you a gift and it seems to you to be really quite extravagant, and you think to yourself, "Oh no, this is just too much. It's just too much." But when you think about it, perhaps it is an assurance to you that though you might think you don't deserve this, it's a blessing to think that though you might not be perfect, there is someone who wants the best for you. And that's what we're faced with when we gather at the Lord's table. You know, to me, what God is seeking to do through the Lord's Supper is to try and convince us how much He values us, that He would give the best, that He wouldn't even hold back His only Son, so that our souls could be enriched, empowered. You know, it's an amazing thing this morning. There's an early church service. Some of you, I know you'll all be up at 6:30 to listen to it. And I was a wee bit late in switching it on this morning, you know, but Horatio Spafford's hymn came blasting out. You know that one that says, "When peace like a river attendeth my ways, when sorrow like sea billows flow, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And there's that verse which says, "Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control. Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul." It's as personal as that. Jesus coming to us today in the bread and wine and saying, "This is my body which is broken for you." So that it might be well with your soul. And that, you see, is what is amazing about grace. He loves us despite what we are. And I want you to bask in that this morning, friends. I would love that more than anything else, that that would penetrate into the very depths of your being. He wishes the best for you. It's expressed in extravagant ways in the death of His Son. But I would actually want more than that, because when we are touched by the extravagant love of other people, surely that moves us in some way to be worthy. We can never be totally worthy. But if this is what God was prepared to do for me, then I think I want to love Him more, and I think I want to serve Him better. So that, in the words of another song from a secular source perhaps, "No one could ever love me more." But I know that in my own heart, I need to save the best of me for Him. I only know that when it comes to that place where you're overwhelmed by the love of God, isn't there anything other than the best that you wish to offer? Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of Your Spirit, you would take us forward from this day, knowing your love surrounding us and your good purpose in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue our worship now, friends, with the offering. Let us pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would enable us in the power of your Holy Spirit to set before you the whole of our lives as we set before our offerings today, so that they may be used for the advancement of your kingdom, proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and sharing his love with those in need. We pray this in his name. Amen. Now, as the elders leave the church to uplift the elements, we remain seated and sing, "Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away," and then rising, as is our custom, to sing, "Ye gates, lift up your heads on high." So let's sing together, "Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away." Grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please sit down. Friends, we stand in a tradition that goes back to our Lord Jesus himself, the one act of worship that Jesus told us that we should do together as his people. And we find in the letters of the great Apostle Paul some directives as to how the sacrament should be celebrated. Paul seeking to bring people back to the atmosphere of the upper room, the last time Jesus would break bread with his friends, but establishing this great act of worship for us, to draw together everything that we know concerning Jesus in our remembrance, and once again to experience the extravagance of the provision that has been made for us. And when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said to them, "I have received from the Lord the teaching that I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke the bread and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, 'This cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And Paul says that every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we now do as Jesus has commanded us, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took bread and wine, we take this bread and this wine to be set apart from ordinary use, so that it may be used in this sacred meal. And in the same way that Jesus gave thanks to God, let us now draw near to our Heavenly Father and offer our prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you have made yourself known to the world in the life and ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. His coming to us has shown that you are very near to us in every circumstance of life. His living amongst us has shown that your love is present for us even in the darkest times. His dying for us has made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. And his rising from the dead is our assurance that beyond this life, there is a completeness, a fulfillment, and a joy which is above all earthly experience. We give thanks that this hope has been revealed to us by the preaching of the word, by lives we have seen lived in the power of the Spirit, in the love shown to us by so many we have known who were your faithful servants. We give thanks that we have been given grace to reach out for this hope and to make it the foundation of our lives. We give thanks that today we share this hope with our brothers and sisters gathered at your table and with all those throughout the world who love you and who seek to proclaim your truth and live in your love. We give thanks that we can look forward to the completion of this hope when we will be reunited with all those who have served you well and are now at rest. We pray now that as we prepare to receive the bread and wine, the symbol of our Saviour's sacrifice, that your Holy Spirit would lead us to a deeper appreciation of all that he has accomplished for our sake. And we ask that as you bring this to our minds afresh, that our hearts would respond to him with a love which is ever faithful, a commitment to his kingdom which is ever strong, an eagerness to serve which is ever open to new opportunities. No one could ever love us more. And we only hope that in return we might offer the best of ourselves for him. And we pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Friends, we share this bread and this wine because Jesus himself has commanded us to do so. On the night that he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." Do this in memory of him. And take this cup and drink from it. This is God's new covenant sealed in the blood of Christ, which was shed so that the sins of the world might be forgiven. Do this in memory of him. God, our Father, it is because we belong to you that we wish to go from this place refreshed and renewed, trusting in your word to make a difference to lives around us, and knowing that love which has made a difference to us, we wish to share that with those in need. And so today we would remember your church, gathered as we are gathered in whatever circumstances, and pray that you would bless her in her mission to make Christ known. And we pray for the world at this time, so many shadows falling across human experience, and yet we remember that Christ was amongst us, remains amongst us in the power of his Holy Spirit, and can make a difference. We remember our nation at a time of uncertainty, at a time of anxiety, a time of confusion. And we pray that the wisdom that is from above would settle on minds to lead us forward for the benefit of all people. And we hold in our hearts in this moment people who most need our prayers. Those who have concerns regarding their health. Those who have lost loved ones. Those who are uncertain about the future. We pray, O Lord, that you would draw near to each one, that they might know the touch of our risen Lord and receive the strength that only he can give. We pray all these things in the name and for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen.